This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Teddy swims this afternoon.
Nice little groove for a hot Friday.
It is a nice groove, isn't it? What a gorgeous day. Sarah came over. She comes. My daughter Sarah comes over every Friday for Pancake Friday and works from home, my home, hangs out. We had a couple minutes. I'm like, baby, you want to just go sit out on the front porch for a little bit and soak up the sun? And she's like, heck yeah, Dad.
I mean, it's this year has been flying. I mean, it's already, what, May 15th?
No, but tomorrow is the first unofficial, well, not the first, the only unofficial first day of spring.
So it's not official, so we'll just call spring March 21st. Sure. And stick with it.
It is the meteorological first day of spring, whatever the heck that means.
It means that's fabulous, just, and we're all going to be in a better mood. And,
mm-hmm. You know, that's just categorizing the seasons into three-month periods that start
for now.
The most important thing we need to know is that next week in Missouri, anyway, is Weather Preparedness Week. We want you to be weather aware. We want you to be weather prepared. That kicks off next week.
Very exciting.
Also, I was driving with the windows down earlier today over near like Martin City, South Kansas City area. And because I was driving in relatively heavy traffic, I didn't want to be on my cell phone. But I have never wanted to be on that phone so bad in my entire life. Because as I took a left turn going north on 135th, I'm looking down toward where you would go down to turn into Martin City.
You can't go north on 135th.
Whatever that direction is. You know what I'm talking about. West. I look down toward Martin City, and there is a gigantic sign. And I don't mean like it is a big, like the size of that picture window behind you, Scott. What is that? That is how big this sign is.
That's probably a 2x4.
So the way you guys would be traveling to go toward Loch Lloyd, to go toward Holmes, to go toward Martin City, there's this gigantic sign, and it just says, Green Light Dispensary adopts this highway. You know there is a dispensary on that corner, and let me tell you how I know. Because one night, I was going to Martin City to meet...
Visitor?
No, I'm not. I was going to Martin City to meet my girlfriends. The line on a Friday night was wrapped all the way around, and I didn't know what it was for. I thought, oh my God, is that what is going on over there? Is it a restaurant? And then I see the little medicinal, you know, whatever.
They sell the weed.
She drove past all of them and said, I've got an online order. Losers.
They
got an online
have now adopted the highway, and I don't really call that a highway, whatever you call it. It's Missouri, whatever. It's the road that takes you to Holmes and to Martin City.
I believe it's technically 150.
Is it 150, I think? You know, if you keep going, it's like Gales Harley-Davidson was way down there.
I call that the road I took to the clink, but go ahead.
But the sign is not on the highway part. It's more at like 135th and State Line.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm not saying they shouldn't be able to adopt a highway. I mean, if you want to go out and pick up trash and make our highway look lovelier, good on you.
Is that some trash over there, man?
It is a gigantic sign, though.
It's at the bottom of a double rainbow.
Screaming to everyone that we have adopted this highway. It's ours.
You know, there's a road near my home where that section is adopted by the Sampson family.
Yeah.
I've never seen the Sampson family out there picking up trash.
I believe you only have to go out and pick up trash like once a year.
Don't you remember they stopped the program on one side? They stopped the program.
It was because the KKK had adopted.
Well, that was part of the issue. The other part was it, to Sam's point.
It cost them more to deliberate on who could and could not adopt a highway than it did. It ended up costing the state money for the system to be in place, so they just scrapped it entirely.
And there was no accountability. Like, you say you're going to adopt a highway, and you pay the money or whatever for the sign, and then there's still trash. Like, then someone has to track you down and go, hey,
you're not picking up.
You adopted this highway. There's trash everywhere.
Well, in fairness, our company adopted this stretch of Squibb Road outside, and have you not seen the signs?
No, I have. I'm interested to see where you go with this.
Do you think I'm walking into dangerous territory here?
Proceed.
Well, I was going to say, we adopted Squibb Road, which is a very short road.
Mm-hmm. We did?
About 4 years, 4 or 5 years ago. And I've only seen one email in the last 5 years saying, hey, we're having a pickup day tomorrow.
What do you have us pick up? Leaves?
Have you seen the trash that is in the natural? You're so into natural grass, apparently. There's natural grass out there. There are signs that say that that's natural grass. There's trash in there.
With the Odyssey One Day, One Thing initiative, we have many emails go out per year inviting you and everyone else.
You have become so corporate, it is sickening.
To dedicate at least 2 hours of your day to picking up trash on Squibb in front of the building.
2 hours out of my day? Every day?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that community service was such an inconvenience.
Oh, wow!
Oh,
there
no,
it is!
Oh, no,
there it is!
Didn't.
He's going to do well in corporate. Well,
let me ask you this, boss.
Uh-huh.
How many times have you been out there picking up trash?
Zero.
Okay. So where do you get off?
I don't necessarily want to pick up trash, but I do want to be able to utilize one of those stabber things.
Yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't
it? Yeah, like
on
the pole.
Sam?
Yeah, well, first on Sam, and then I might pick up a receipt or two out in the wild.
The tall prairie grass?
There's really no other tool that is so
effective.
Well, the grabber.
Think about it, Dan. That, you know, if you've got a hammer, you can do a lot of different things with a hammer. That is a very specific tool. I feel like Lowe's doesn't even have it. You have to go to somewhere near a prison to find that. Like the thing that it's a pole.
Well, first you have to stab somebody, and then
pole.
You get the stabby stick.
And it's got the thing on the end of it, and you go, and it picks up receipts and garbage bags.
Sounds like something out of a horror movie.
I don't know.
Movie.
Well, it could also be used, you know, I suppose against a human, but it's
like the shower scene.
A very specific, like, chore-specific tool.
Isn't a screwdriver?
No, you can use a screw. No, you can use a screwdriver to open a can of paint.
Isn't a snow shovel?
No, I could use that to bonk you over the head.
I could use the pointy thing to stab you in your heart.
This is escalating quickly.
The point is, I've never signed up either. Sorry.
The emails are sent out multiple times a year.
Well, then how come you don't participate since you're all corporate and you're part of the enchantment team or whatever around here?
Sam,
enchantment.
You get me an orange vest and one of those stabby things, and I'll go out there with you.
Let's do it.
Wait a minute. You're not going out on that little tiny two-lane road without an orange vest?
I want an orange vest.
I can see the trash from here.
Safety first.
We can pick it up.
I'm going to pick up a piece of trash on my way home tonight.
I think the Dana and Parks show should take over that street. And we need to put up a sign.
Brought to you by Dana and Parks.
Dana and Parks
that
trash
idea
day
is
on
as dumb as this show.
If the point is to get like a little bit of advertising and do a little bit of good for the earth, nobody drives down that street except us.
Oh, there's a lot of people that drive through there.
No, they don't.
Yes. They're going to Target or they're going away. Mm-hmm.
Going away?
From Target.
Right.
Oh.
Either to or from.
They're going to Target or fleeing Target. Got it.
Mm-hmm. It depends. Do they pay for their items or not?
An inspirational woman who is celebrating her 106th birthday says the secret of her long life is a daily dose of chocolate.
Okay.
And partying.
What does that mean? What's her name?
Edith Hill.
Edith. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say partying?
Partying.
Like,
like the green light dispensary and
Anheuser-Busch.
Retired secretary. She was born in 1919.
Where's she from?
She is from...
There's a reason I ask.
I believe she's from England.
Okay. I swear to you...
She is from England, yep.
I swear to you that this week I saw a local like nursing home. I don't remember if it was Kansas or Missouri, but I'm leaning toward Kansas, said a woman was celebrating her 109th birthday.
Wow. Now, this story says...
You take your 106 and talk to us later.
I get you. She says... the story says she was born in 1919 and has survived two world wars. World War One ended in 1918. She was born in 1919. She has not survived two world wars.
Are we really going to split that hair? She's 109 years old, Scott.
No, I'm just calling out the writer who doesn't know their history.
My favorite is always the lady. I think she was north of 100. And they said, what's your secret? Three Dr. Peppers a day?
And?
That was it. Three Dr. Peppers That's a it? Day. That's her secret.
It's poison.
Yeah, it is.
That's why she's preserved.
913-586-7798. Sam Stevie the Third. Dana Wright. My name is Scott. Here on KMBZ.
I love our town. I love our football team. I love Patrick Mahomes. I love Texas Tech. Did you see the video of that sweet buddy who did some halftime challenge thing with a putter and a golf ball? And apparently, the camera work was terrible on this thing, by the way.
So it's the full court putt.
I didn't even know that because the camera was zoomed in on the ball the entire time. You really could. It took a while to get down there. It was a full court ball in the hole the entire length of the court.
And the hole, by the way, looked like a mouse hole from Tom and Jerry.
Correct. From baseline to baseline, you're lined up on obviously one baseline, and then they are on the other side with cardboard or something with a Tom and Jerry mouse hole cut out of it. It's really hard on a perfectly smooth surface to keep a golf ball going straight that long.
He did it. His name is Blake Porter, by the way. They had him on the Today Show, and for that putt, this is what went viral. Patrick and Brittany Mahomes are sitting on the sidelines because they went to Tech.
They're courtside.
He goes and, like, shoulder bumps him. Just they're both screaming. They're celebrating.
Yeah.
And so you think, okay, like, what does he get for this? Well, it turns out he got a cooler, some AirPods. You know, it wasn't like $500,000.
Yeah,
it wasn't like $500,000. Like, but it was still exciting that he was able to make that putt the whole way. Then
he got to shoulder bump Mahomes.
He got
That's
to shoulder
cool.
bump Mahomes. They have him on the Today Show this morning, and listen, this you're going to hear Patrick Mahomes. This made me cry.
What's up, Blake? What an awesome moment it was the other night. I was so excited just to be a small part of it. And I know you think you know what you won, but what you don't know is that Texas Tech Athletics is going to be paying your tuition next fall.
Whoa!
And on top of that, Adidas and I are going to make you an honorary member of Team Mahomes. So we'll be sending a nice care package your way to support your golf game. Congrats again, and enjoy your time on the Today Show.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
Oh my, that makes me cry!
I thought I read somewhere that Patrick was also, he made a cameo appearance on set. If I'm not mistaken,
that was just a video of him on a golf course.
I thought he came out after that. Let me look that up.
They're also making him, you heard this, an honorary member of that Team Mahomes NIL initiative, like the very first inaugural class of his NIL initiative at Tech. And he said, I'm going to be sending a care package your way. Isn't that great?
You're
he studies finance, by the way, there.
It was Channel 5 story says makes cameo. To share exciting news, I read that as he actually showed up. He did not.
No, but it was a cool video.
No, it is cool.
And just, I mean, if you look at this online, there are better videos of that ball going in. It is a one in a million shot that ball goes in.
Without question.
The entire, you would be more likely to hit a half court shot. By far.
Speaking of half court, did anybody see the Michigan State Maryland game the other night?
Oh, they hit a half court shot.
Literally had to hit it.
Yeah, I saw the replay. I didn't see it live, but wow.
That bench went nuts. Mm-hmm. That was in Maryland.
Well, and then March they interviewed here. The coach after the game, and they're like, "What? Why do you think you deserve to win the game?" And the coach is like, "What? That what a dumb question.
That is a dumb question.
What?
We deserve to win the game because we scored more points?
Yes. Yeah. Thanks. Back to you, Jim.
Wow. A cousin of the Menendez brothers says she is thrilled The California governor, Gavin Newsom, is addressing the brothers' request for clemency and ordering the parole board to investigate further. Says cousin Anna Maria, "I certainly gasped in relief. One of at least 20 relatives who is in support of the brothers' release," she said, quote, "this is huge." I agree. I think they're going free within the year. Lyle and Eric Menendez, who are serving life in prison without the possibility of parole for the murders of their parents in 1989, have cautious optimism they will be released, says Anna Maria. "They are the first life without parole prisoners on this path. So when we look at any advancements, it's definitely with hope," I'm quoting from another cousin, "but also understanding that there are no promises." Newsom announced on Wednesday of this week that he is ordering the parole board to conduct a 90-day comprehensive risk assessment investigation into whether the brothers pose an unreasonable risk to the public if they're granted clemency and released. I'm telling you, this is Gavin Newsom preparing the way. Are you sinking in your seat?
Every few seconds, it goes down another 6 inches. And it's very jarring when it happens. I think you need to grease the whatever it is, the mechanism under this chair.
I think that would be antithetical to what you really need. You don't need me to grease it.
Did you just catch yourself in the middle of a Dana-ism?
Yes, I did.
I'm proud of you for that.
Because it...
I was so ready to pull that
cut. I started this segment way up here, okay? And then the problem isn't that every once in a while it catches. I'm not prepared for it. Sort of like in a barbershop chair, but it's going the opposite way. I just go, poonk, it just keeps going. It's very jarring.
I look over and she's halfway under the desk.
Some inside baseball here. We've got four brand new beautiful chairs in that studio and you refuse to use them. I've never understood.
That is correct.
This is one of the new ones, Sam.
No, the new ones are over here.
Oh, okay.
They're right there.
Thank you.
Why don't you get one of them?
I was going to wait until I hit the ground and then file a workman's comp claim. Calling Brown and Crouppen in
death
here.
And dismemberment.
Brown and why call Brown and Crouppen when Mike's got this?
Clearly. Like, that company knew that chair was sliding because mm-hmm. Scott brought it up on the air.
A Nebraska father has finally been able to get his daughter, who due to a paperwork error is legally named Unakite 13 Hotel. She now has a social security number 2 years after her birth. The toddler whose real name, well, not legal name, but his name for her is Caroline Elizabeth Kilburn.
Perfectly acceptable name.
Has never had a birth certificate in that name and was never assigned a social security number, which made it difficult for dad to get her on Medicaid and qualify for other benefits like daycare, even as she was recently sick with a fever. The child was born in a house in Council Bluffs, Iowa, on the Nebraska border in November of 2022. Her mother, who briefly dated Kilburn, gave her up, and the child was placed with a foster family in Nebraska. After Kilburn determined that he was the father, the state gave him custody. But they ran a random name assignment.
Yeah, that's the
for
headline
the child.
Here. How did they name this child? And Scott is not kidding, nor is he joking, nor would it be funny. The state decided to use a random noun generator to name foster children.
Unakite 13
you could just
Hotel.
Use, as to Sam's point, you could just use a random name generator.
Typically the same website.
Kick out Jennifer, kick out Amy. They used a noun generator and gifted that child with the name Hotel Kitchen. What was it? 13?
Unakite 13 Hotel.
What is wrong with people?
Unakite is a rock.
It is a specific type of rock.
Well,
yes.
They're dumber than a box of rocks for using a noun word generator to name a child.
It is a beautiful type of rock.
At no point did someone think when that name let's just call her Jennifer and be done.
Do you think that anybody who uses a noun generating machine cares what nouns come out?
Nope. No, I don't, Scott.
Do you think that they said, you know what? We just used a noun generator and the nouns that we got were Unakite, 13, and Hotel. I don't think that's acceptable. I'm going to spend more time working today. We need to give this child a real name. They couldn't care less. Could not care less. Well, Unakite now has Caroline or whatever her name is, now has a social security number.
Does it say, is that social security number under Caroline or under Unakite or Unakite? I'm not really sure how we would pronounce this as a name.
Okay, so the social security number given to her is under the name Unakite 13 Hotel.
No.
Yes, it is.
That's going to be her name for the rest of her life.
Says here, the number...
What does that say to the children in the foster care system? that they care so little about what happens to you that they used a computer noun generator, not even a name generator, a noun generator to slap a name on you like you're an abandoned litter of kittens. You know, we know that the Wayside Waves runs out of names. They do. I got a cat named Dragonfruit. They run out of names. I get it. They have 50,000 cats to get rid of. You don't do that with a human being.
The number was not issued under her real name, but Dad says it's a step in the right direction. Quoting here from Dad, getting it under Unakite is obviously not the most desirable way to go about it, but having the number under any name at this point is a victory. So her social security card reads Unakite 13 Hotel.
Now, this is one step closer because you do need a social security number to change your name. So now he could change her name to the name that he wishes to give her.
Caroline
Maybe
Kilburn.
Dana can teach her how to do it.
Caroline Elizabeth Kilburn. 913-586-77. Oh, you didn't catch that dig. He said maybe he can now change her name and get another social security card. Maybe Dana can help him do it.
Just 913-586-779.
No, I'm leaving.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The law is now on the books in the state of Missouri that says a woman cannot get a divorce if she's pregnant. The Missouri House of Representatives took a significant step in getting that overturned. House lawmakers unanimously overturned the decades-old law yesterday that allows pregnant women only to file for a divorce, not finalize the divorce. The bill would prevent courts from using pregnancy status as a reason to not dissolve a marriage.
Okay, I'm taking over. Did you see
that
facial recognition has falsely identified a mom as an attempted murder suspect in Michigan? We have talked about facial recognition and the problems with it. How many times on this program she was wrongfully identified and accused due to facial recognition, not of like, I don't know, some silly, petty crime. She was literally fingered for murder that she did not commit. Yes, Scott.
Let me ask a question, if I may. I have not read the story. She was black, I bet.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We know that facial recognition and the error rate when we see it miss and miss badly
with people of color
is much higher with people of color. It's higher for, I believe, women than it is for men.
Correct.
Michigan woman has filed a lawsuit after she said she was wrongfully arrested due to faulty facial recognition. The lawsuit lists the city of Detroit, several Detroit Police Department employees as defendants. It was January of this past year. LaDonna Crutchfield was laying down reading to her five-year-old daughter before heading off to start her 10-hour work shift at her second job when she heard a knock at the door. She opened the door. Six Detroit police officers were there. The officers initially told her she had an arrest warrant after she failed to show up for court. That was not true. She did not have a warrant out for her arrest. She was arrested in front of her children, and then when she got inside the police cruiser, she learned the real accusation behind her arrest: assault with attempt to murder. At the police station, she was interviewed by detectives and shown photos of a, quote, black, heavy-set woman. This is according to the lawsuit. That is their language, not mine. She was then asked, is that you? She replied, why? Because I'm fat and black like that woman? Investigators told her they believe she was involved in a shooting. She was identified as a suspect through a facial recognition database. She had nothing to do with the crime. In fact, she was at work at the time of the shooting.
Oh, read on.
Oh, yeah. She was told we'll release you if you give us your DNA. No, that's when you actually call Mike.
But here's where she has a lawsuit. The chief of police, Todd Bettison, tells McClatchy, quote, this is a completely false allegation. There was absolutely no use of any facial recognition technology involving Ms. Crutchfield.
Did they lie then when they told her that?
In this investigation. It is a blatant fabrication made up by her attorney.
Okay, then how did they end up being led to her as a suspect when she had nothing to do with this other than the fact that the actual murderer in the case was a heavyset African-American female?
Here's the way I read it, and we're assuming the chief of police is telling the truth. She and her attorney are claiming that it was facial recognition, that that's what they were told, that that's what she was told.
It might have been what she was told.
It might have been, but he claims, the chief of police, we never use facial recognition to pin her as a suspect.
Now they will.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Cities are using it. Scott police departments are using it, and they don't get it wrong all the time, but when they do get it wrong,
it's almost always people of color.
So wrong.
They will know for a fact whether or not the deputy said this to her. The body cam should have been on the entire time. If it was not, then she has another lawsuit.
Or when they got her back to the police station, of course, you know, they record those interrogations. So we'll know one way or the other. But facial recognition is very touchy. And I don't think I'm being inappropriate by saying this. It's because the camera cannot, the darker the skin tone, the harder it is to detect certain features on a human being's face with the camera.
I don't know about that. The story that I read, and it's been about a year, and it was the New York Times story, said that part of the issue is also that the people in Silicon Valley that did the metrics for all of the AI stuff for facial rec,
the coding,
are all white men, like predominantly white men.
It also, it does have a lot to do with the fact that the cameras just can't pick up the shading on darker.
It's the shadows. It's the shadows of your eyes, of the wrinkles in your face.
It figures out the contours of your face based on the shadows. And if the technology just simply cannot pick up the shadows very well, it's going to miss.
One of the detectives said, well, it does look like you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Cut the check.
Uh-huh.
It does look like you, doesn't it? Oh, my God.
Why? Because I'm black and I'm fat like she is?
I love her immediate retort to that, because I'm a fat black woman.
But are we going to get to a point in society where we have to somehow be able to prove that we weren't part of a crime because facial recognition said that we were,
even though we know deep down that
we weren't?
By the way, quick correction. Facial recognition systems were designed in Asia. They work best on people of Asian descent.
Well, they're in place all over Asian countries.
I'm going to look and see how many cities have said we are not going to use this. Like, have there been regulations passed in certain towns that this is such a landmine, right? And it's not. Don't you remember some of the lawmakers were in? They did some facial rec thing as like a test on Capitol Hill.
I remember that. Yep.
And several lawmakers were identified as criminals. And I know that joke writes itself. But wrongfully identified as criminals.
Finally, we're talking about important things here on the Dana and Parks program.
We don't talk about politics, guys. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Here's the thing, though. Police are allowed to lie, if I'm not mistaken, in an interrogation. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And I believe the Supreme Court has even upheld that a police officer can lie to you. Hey, your buddy in the other room is spilling all the beans. If you want to save your skin, you better start spilling too. And the guy in the other room has already gone silent.
Women, particularly women of color, are more likely to be misidentified by facial recognition systems. So it's black women, then white women, then I think black men, and then white men. And here's why. Biased facial rec can result in wrongful arrest, denied access to services, and other forms of discrimination because the training data used to develop the algorithms often lacks diversity. The training data that they used lacks diversity, leading to the system performing poorly on faces that are not well represented in the data set.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. This story came in late in the show yesterday, so we never got it on the air, but a South Carolina man was shot and killed by a shotgun booby trap allegedly set up by one of his own family members, according to police.
That's why booby trapping is illegal.
That's a new detail, the own family member portion.
Jordan Dove, 34, was wounded by a shotgun blast upon arriving to a vacant home on Monday in St. Matthews, South Carolina, a town about 35 miles south of Columbia. Dove was transported to a nearby hospital before he died. Quoting here from the sheriff's department in a statement, it was believed at the time that the residents may have been booby-trapped. A perimeter was set around the residence as deputies slowly made entry into the home where they encountered a shotgun that was rigged at the back door to go off once anyone attempted to gain entry. That is a booby-trap by definition. A further sweep of the residence showed the front door was barricaded shut with no occupants inside. The sheriff's office.
Why would you booby trap a vacant home? First of all, illegal. Don't do it, vacant or otherwise. But why would it's a vacant house?
The sheriff's office. Well, maybe they were booby trapping it in case some vagrant wanted to. What is it called when homeless people get into a home?
A squat.
Squatting. Thank you. The sheriff's office added that the home belonged to one of Dove's family members. Authorities said that charges will be forthcoming. To a man that they identified as Alfonso Brown, who is currently incarcerated. Says the sheriff, this was a very dangerous situation that appeared targeted
toward law enforcement.
Yep.
Read that sentence again. This was a dangerous situation that appeared to be targeted toward law enforcement. Maybe it was vacant, Scott, because he was losing that property or otherwise wasn't supposed to be there, knowing law enforcement would show up. Mm. Why else would you booby trap a property against law enforcement? Why would law enforcement even be there?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. How would it be a booby trap against law enforcement? Does law enforcement regularly
Sam. You would have to know they were coming. And it appears they are surmising that he did.
Or expecting them to come. I mean, maybe...
It was his nephew who died, by the way.
I mean, he had allegedly blocked the front door with a bunch of stuff.
Right.
The only way into the house is through the back door. Maybe this house is in arrears. I don't know. I'm spitballing here.
Huh.
And somebody has to take control of the house.
Nope. Here it is. People Magazine has it. I cannot believe we're quoting People Magazine, but it's like 96 paragraphs down.
They're legit.
He wasn't home at the time of the incident, as he is currently facing charges for allegedly trying to kill, quote, a different nephew and two other people.
Yeah, he's in jail.
Quoting here from one of the officers, we think he probably booby-trapped the house knowing he's on the run. We're looking for him. He knew that he would be tracked back to Calhoun County, and we would go there with a search warrant. We feel like the booby-trap was targeting us, law enforcement.
Something tells me that the Thanksgiving dinner table is awkward every year for this family.
And it's going to have two people missing.
Wow.
Him, because he's in prison, and his cousin, who is dead. By the way, is Ozempic maybe a miracle drug?
Yes. You will pry it out of my cold, dead, thin hands.
Not only does it obviously work for diabetes, it is now found to be a miracle weight loss drug that many Americans take. It is believed that it might also reduce the urges for alcoholics. And now they're saying it also lowers the risk of depression.
Yeah.
A landmark study of nearly 30,000 people found that the use of GLP-1 medications, which include Wegovy and Ozempic, could have an antidepressant effect, suggesting that these drugs could one day be used in mental health therapy. And while some people may have a boost in mental health and self-image from weight loss, that is not what researchers think is the cause.
I was going to ask, is it just a correlation between those two things?
No. Semaglutide, the active ingredient in Ozempic and Wegovy, is part of a class of drugs that mimic the body's natural GLP-1 hormone, making users feel fuller for longer, hence the weight loss. Originally developed for type 2 diabetes, they've become widely popular. Since flooding the market, a myriad of additional health benefits have been reported, i.e., as I mentioned. Here's another one. It may help fight kidney disease. Could be beneficial, as I mentioned, in preventing and treating substance abuse. Wegovy was approved to reduce the risk of stroke, heart attacks, and other serious problems in patients who are overweight or obese. Damn miracle drug.
Now, Textline is pointing out another correlation. If you're not drinking and you lost a bunch of weight, you probably are going to feel a little bit better about yourself.
But researchers say that's not it.
That might be part of it, but that's not the whole enchilada. Bad choice of words. It's part of the enchilada.
Well, no, you can't eat the whole enchilada anymore.
Very healthy enchilada.
Won't let you.
Mm-hmm. A new study published in PLOS One found that men and women misjudge what the opposite sex finds attractive. A research team in England asked 144 people with an average age of 22 to adjust a 3D model of a man's or woman's face to match their appearance to find out what they believe the other gender finds the most attractive for both short and long-term relationships. The study authors write, "We have demonstrated a substantial misperception of what men and women predict the opposite sex to desire in terms of sexual, is it dimorphism or face shape?" The study also showed that both men and women overestimated how masculine or feminine the other gender envisioned the most attractive face.
But so what do they want? Right. Did they get into
that? What is it?
Sam, we will never know.
Talk about a cliffhanger.
We will never know what they want.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. That will start in 1 hour from now. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today, Q39KC.com. Don't forget to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. It is available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. Sam does a great job of getting each hour up on the podcast right after it ends. And we got the news with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.